Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
You know, you might think about taking Jesus Christ as your savior instead of fooling around with all this stuff.
Ah, Jesus.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I like him very much. He no help.
You trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What the hell's going on out here?
Well, Nuke's scared because his eyelids are jammed in his old man's hair. We need a live rooster? We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
That's all we got? One damn hit?
You can't say damn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
The Fan. The
summer wind. All right, welcome back in our dose here at Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. On this beautifully chilly Wednesday afternoon. Hope you're getting your Christmas shopping close to being done. Or maybe you're a last-minute individual.
I haven't even started yet.
Yeah, that sounds about right. About what I expected.
It's funny, everybody, like the girlfriend's all done, her family's all done. Like they've been shopping nonstop for the last 2 weeks. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Christmas is coming up, huh?
I should probably do something about that.
I should probably start shopping.
Merry Christmas, girlfriend. I got us new countertops. And we have a beautiful home that we're basically living together.
Those are getting installed today, by the way. My nightmare of not having a kitchen is almost over, ladies and gentlemen.
Good for you, man.
Almost over.
Happy for you. We have a lot to get to here. We got some breaking news to pass along in the NFL. USC has a potential idea that could actually help them a lot, but hurt us here in the Northwest. I'll explain how. And then I want to talk about the Oregon State coaching hires. Jonathan Smith made some moves.
That he did. Does it get you jacked up? Also, can I know Beaver fans have been frustrated the last 2 days. We had somebody tweet us earlier and say, hey, can we get some Beaver talk?
We got Beaver talk.
Well, first off, we opened the show with Beaver talk. We'll talk more Beavers in the second hour. And when Gary Anderson left, we did the same thing. When Gary Anderson, that was a pretty big deal when Gary Anderson left. We spent like 2 or 3 days on that.
Yeah.
And we did the same thing when they hired Jonathan Smith. It's like, oh, here's your breaking news. They hired Jonathan Smith. We ran with it for an hour and a half.
News is news. We talk about news. So we'll get to Oregon State here. And then the final hour, we've got some college football playoff stuff I want to talk about. We never really reacted to the teams that won their conferences. Who do you think the best one is? NFL Challenge, Statter Story, all of that is to come in the final hour. But I want to start with the Blazers. They lost last night to the John Wallace Washington Wizards.
The team that they should have lost to on the road trip as well.
The team that has a penis in the middle of their court in Washington. And Bradley Beal set a record, 51 points. Knocked off Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who held the previous high against Portland in Portland. And now Bradley Beal is the owner of that record with 51.
Bradley Beal, ladies and gentlemen.
In their last three games, after their 4-1 East Coast trip, they have been outscored at the Moda Center, by my calculations, of 33 points. Now they wait a few days. Then they get Houston, who, by the way, with Chris Paul, has gotten better since he got back. That's a loss. Golden State, then you go on the road and you play some East Coast teams that you could beat, but with this team, who really knows? And I tweeted last night, and I feel that way today. This is one bleeping weird team. I have not felt great about them.
No.
Even after a 4-1 road trip.
No, I haven't felt great at all. I mean, outside of the first couple of games of the year, it's been downhill since then because they started losing games that they should have won, that they had leads, and they just let it slip through their fingers. Even on the 4-1 road trip, that should have been a 2-3 road trip. They were lucky to win two of those ball games. They got blown out by the Sixers. Oh, sure. I mean, they got some good young talented pieces, but that's not a game you should lose by 20 points. As I mentioned, they should have lost this to the same Washington team on the road without John Wall. But they had a miracle comeback to win it. And then you have Bradley Beal come in without his backcourt mate, and he scores 51 points on you. Like, nobody else in the starting lineup even sniffed double figures. Look at the numbers for the rest of the starters. Gortat was 1 of 6. Otto Porter Jr. was 1 for 8.
Yep.
Morris was 2 for 10. Those were your other – nobody else could make a shot. It was one guy, and they didn't double-team him.
So we have this new sales exec in the building named Taylor, really nice guy. He tells me last night, he's like, hey, I was at the game. I had really good seats. He's like, hey, man, you saw Beal go off. He goes, yeah. Me and my buddy realized when he scored his 45th bucket, they looked up at the box score. Nobody else had double digits.
Nobody else. Nobody else. And two guys off the bench that ended up in double digits, but nobody else in the starting lineup.
I feel like this could stretch two segments just solely out of anger on my behalf, right? But this was a damning quote. This came via Joe Freeman, who talked to Bradley Beal yesterday and basically asked, hey, were you surprised that the Blazers didn't double-team you? Because they didn't. The whole night, they didn't double-team him. This was his quote. Let me find it here. I was. A little bit. I was, because I've been facing it for the last 2 weeks. I was definitely a little bit surprised, but I took advantage of it. That is solely coaching. I'm sorry. That is coaching. Terry Stotts has never been one that's an advocate for double teaming. And moments like last night make me want to rip my hair out of, please make Marcin Gortat beat you.
Yes.
Make Kelly Oubre beat you.
Anybody else?
Anybody.
Otto Porter Jr., go ahead,
shoot. Otto Porter Jr.
Morris, shoot. Leave him wide open.
Put up 35 buckets, baby.
Yeah.
And they don't do it. This team is bad. They're just, they're not good. They've been defensively, they were like top 10 for a long time. They have slipped a little bit, but offensively, they were never great. They have not been a top fill in the blank what would make you happy. They haven't been that. There's something wrong with this team. I think it goes a little deeper than just one player. Maybe a wing solution solves it. A 6'7", 6'8", guy that is long, can defend, can give you some perimeter play. Yeah. Maybe that solves all your woes. Here's the thing, though. Who is that in the trade market? Can't find anybody.
That's a tough part.
And you don't suck enough to do anything in the draft unless...
Hey, you're stuck in purgatory.
You are the definition of what you don't want in the NBA. You're not a good team. You're not quite a bad enough team.
Yeah, you've been there for 5 years, too.
This is exactly what we were talking about last year before Nurk, and this is what our fears were if this team did not do what we all hoped they would do with Yusuf Nurkic this year. You're going to have to talk me off the ledge on this one, too. I'm getting close to hoping this team makes a drastic move. And by drastic, I think you can fill in the blanks on a certain trade that I would be absolutely open to.
I'm all in, buddy. I'm all in. This team has been frustrating is the easiest word that I can come up with just with watching them. There's more talent, I think, than their 13-11 record. Nurkic was the key factor for a lot of folks. And based off of their performance early in the year, I think it would be easy to guess, well, I mean, he's probably not having that great of a season. You know what he's averaging this year? He's averaging over 15 points and about 8 boards a game. That's pretty good. It's not quite double-double. Maybe you wanted a little bit more. But for a young center that's really playing his first role as a starter in this league for an extended period of time, 15-8's not bad. He's not a key piece of the offense at times. It's frustrating to me. The ball movement has disappeared. When they have it, they're lights out. You can't stop it because guys are knocking down open shots. But at times, I point the finger mostly at CJ McCollum for that. His assist numbers are way down this year from where they were last year. Mo Harkless has completely disappeared. Has anybody found him? I don't know where he went. I love Mo Harkless. I thought this was going to be his breakout season. He hasn't done squat in 24 games. Evan Turner is a terrible fit. That hasn't changed. Myers Leonard, was anybody tweeting about him last night in his 3 minutes when he was a -6 and didn't make a shot?
How many minutes did he get?
He played 3 minutes and he was a -6. 3 minutes.
Can I say something to defend Myers?
Sure, go for it.
That's on Stotts. So, like some of these, not everything is Stotts.
Well, you want him to get more run?
No, I'm just saying if you're going to play him for, what did he play against the Pelicans? He scored 15 points. If you're going to play him that many minutes against the Pelicans, stop with this nitpicking of, well, matchups. Give the guy some solid run. Yeah, sure. Find out who he is.
I'm okay with that.
Right? And I think we know who he is. But,
I know who he is, right. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah, give him consistency. That's all I'm saying. They don't do that. I think on that coaching end, it doesn't happen. again, this is not all on Stotts. He did not construct this roster.
Yeah, it's another year. I came into the season with the wool pulled over my eyes, and I was optimistic about what they were bringing back, and I loved the schedule, the way it stacked up early in the season, thinking that they could rack up some wins, and here we are basically through the easy portion of the schedule, and they're lucky to be above 500. You can give me all you want. That's good enough for sixth in the Western Conference playoff picture. That's going to change. Some of these other teams are going to figure it out. I know the West isn't as deep as maybe we thought it was coming into the season, but as your schedule gets tougher, if you can only go 13-11 through this stretch, as you mentioned, you got Houston coming up, you got Golden State coming up, you got another East Coast trip coming up. It's only going to get more difficult from here, and it's extremely frustrating to watch.
I want to read some text, some thoughts on the Blazers at the Bridgeport Beers text line at 55305, and then we'll move on to the NFL news. But I want to leave with one final thought before we come back. It's one thing to be sixth and close to out of the playoffs. It's one thing to be good on defense, not good on offense, and have some problems there. This team gives you no reason, and I'm not kidding when I say no reason, to go spend your money to go want to watch them play. They are boring. They are not entertaining. And I'll tell you right now, if I'm not in media and I don't get a media pass and I have to buy tickets, they damn sure aren't worth like $80 of my money to go watch.
No.
I'll watch that crap at home, at a bar, or I'll just straight miss it. Read some thoughts on the Blazers. We'll do that next. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan. I'm back, baby. Bummer Brandon is back. Let's go.
Feels good to be a downer every now and then, doesn't it?
Yeah. No, actually, it does feel good to be fired up. Like, I watched that, so...
Like, that's just, you shouldn't lose that game.
Can I tell you something?
The Wizards aren't that good, and they don't have John Wall.
We have never been shy to admit... We're men, but we're not the most manly men out there. Like, we are just learning to do basic things that a lot of listeners know how to do, right?
Speak for yourself. I've remodeled my kitchen.
You paid a company to come in and help everything. I just recently put up a wall mount on my for my TV in my living room.
Yeah, you did.
Looks great above my mantle. The first thing I decided to watch with it was last night. You know what it was?
You wanted to rip off the wall? Was it the Blazer game?
It was.
There you go.
It was Bradley Beal dropping 51. And I sat on my couch. I drank my ginger ale and vodka. And I thought, why the hell did I make this the first thing I decided to watch? I'd much rather watch a Christmas movie that's cheesy.
Ginger ale and vodka?
I ran out of Coke.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah, I mix stuff all the time. I always interested
like
what it tastes like.
I like ginger ale with whiskey.
Or no, it was whiskey. It was the whiskey got me. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said vodka.
Yeah, ginger ale and whiskey is good. That's why I said ginger ale and vodka. I've never had that before.
Yeah, you're right. I'm an idiot. It was the whiskey you bought me, the trail
mixing
one.
Whiskey with, speaking of not being manly men, come on.
Well, you never just have a Crown and
Coke?
No,
Crown of Coke or
just
Crown
drink Crown if I want whiskey. Maybe an ice cube. That's about all I'm putting in that bad boy.
What, is this an old Western? We're just getting hammered on a Tuesday?
Yeah, it's about that time of year.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Well,
and
okay.
After Beal had, I don't know, 20-whatever at halftime.
So call out the man card. I'm fine with that. But nonetheless, my point was the first freaking game I watched with the TV mount in the living room, and I get to watch Bradley Beal go off. And I'm tired of it, man. You know, somebody had a really, let me read this text. I'm tired of this selling crap of a mediocre product. It is what it is. I'm not going to be shocked if they lose to Houston, then they go on the road and they're close with Golden State, mm-hmm. and then they win more games on the road than lose. And now suddenly it's flipped and everybody's trying to tell you that this team's figured it out.
They're back.
They're
not. No,
this is a mediocre basketball team at best. They can be the sixth seed in the West. Right now, the bottom of the West is not great. They are not winning a first-round matchup. That's it. I'm sorry. I'll call it this early. This is what I'm talking about, though. I'd rather be a 30-52 team, have them play hard with room for growth, than a 41-41 for eternity.
Ah, we're back to the tank mode. Let's do this.
I'm not going to get on here and advocate for tanking.
Pro tank.
All I'm saying is there are teams that are much worse than them, or teams that are, I think, in terms of role players and key contributors, younger than them in certain positions, much more entertaining. They are at the bottom. If I did a league pass ranking, they would be in my bottom six or seven in the NBA.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that.
They're not fun to watch.
Which is so weird, right? I mean, it's the opposite this year of what it's been in years past, where they're bad on defense and they're scoring a ton of points. This year, they're better somehow defensively. You know who's actually been really good defensively this year? Damian Lillard. You look at a lot of the individual metrics that just analyze how good players are on that side of the ball. Damian Lillard is like taking a huge step in his career, and I want to give him credit for it because it's been the main criticism for him, and they're much better defensively as a team because of it, because he's playing better defense. But the problem resides on the offensive end of the floor. There's just too many different things to unpack. You don't move the ball. You don't have enough shooters. Mo Harkless has disappeared. I don't think they're using Nurkic the way that they should be. When a guy like Myers Leonard has a hot game, I'm with you. Like, I can't stand him, and I want to unfollow the Blazers every time they tweet out a picture of him flexing because he had a good game. Where you at now, haters? Well, where have you been for 5 years? He makes $10 million. I hope he can make a shot in the NBA, but the consistency of when these guys are playing, what the rotation is, it's constantly changing. It's a flawed roster. I do think there's talent out there, but it's flawed. And I think you're seeing a lot of those warts show up night in and night out. And look, maybe it's overreacting to some people. You alluded to it last segment. I'm 100% there. It's always been in the back of my mind now for a year and a half of can Dame and CJ work together long term? Is this a backcourt that can figure it out if you get the right pieces around it? It doesn't feel like they're ever going to get the right pieces around it. They tried to this offseason with George. They whiffed. They tried to with Carmelo to improve that wing spot that we're talking about.
How many talented guys did they miss in the draft?
How many talented wing players did they miss in the draft to take Zach Collins, who's made one field goal this year?
He still has only made one.
One field goal. We're 24 games in. He doesn't even play. He's not even dressing for some games. Caleb Swanigan hardly plays anymore. All that energy and excitement he brought to the floor early in the year, that's gone. Apparently he's not good enough to crack the rotation. So because of all those things, I'm with you. I've been there mentally, and I would have no problem with them pulling the trigger on a CJ McCollum deal.
Let me read a few thoughts here at the Bridgeport Beers text line. Absolutely, CJ needs to move the ball. Also need to quit jacking threes with poor shooters. Yeah, CJ, quick, I saw this. Quick dove in and said, you know, CJ, he thought CJ was having a kind of an off year. His numbers are like the exact same as last year.
Scoring, they are.
But if you watch him,
yeah,
this is where analytics get away from what you see. When you watch him, it feels weird. It just feels like there's a disconnect where some nights you see him and he's engaged and he's attacking. And last night, it just feels like, man, I don't really want to play today. I saw this last year in game 4 of the Warriors. He quit.
He did. He didn't show up.
I'm sorry. I love CJ McCollum. He's a great representative of the team, et cetera, whatever. He quit in that game.
Dame was the only one that showed
Dame
up.
Dame was
that
the only player that played in that game 4. The rest of them were all ready for vacation. And at times, not most of the time, but at times, there is a, you don't really feel that he really wants to play. Maybe not for this team or just on a certain night. You kind of get that vibe sometimes from CJ. Somebody else says Mo Harkless is sick of watching Dame and CJ hero ball. I think more of the team is as well. The team isn't in it and it shows. Somebody says the roster is fine, crammed with talent. Blazers don't respond coming out of timeouts. They don't come out in the second half. I'm sorry. It's 100% coaching. Somebody else says, bummer, Brandon is back. Light up the S known as the Blazers. Somebody else says, I'm with you, Sprague, in full panic mode. Trade CJ right meow. Stock up draft picks. Start Dame and Pat. Throw in Zach Collins. Let him cut his teeth and see what we got with the kid. That one's from P1 Dustin. Somebody else, it's time to have Nurkic play off the ball instead of walking the ball up and dumping it into Nurk on the block or high post pick and roll. It stagnates the offense. They need to play like those games with Nurk last year that got them in the playoffs. Let me see here. Yeah, just other people asking for more playing time with certain players. Someone says Harkless is useless and CJ is streaky. Somebody else, Blazers deep down. A lot of Blazer fans know there is a culture of accepting mediocrity and players put in enough effort to satisfy
it. Well, the mediocrity, that was the thing that cracked me up the most last year was the anti-tank folks saying, what are you going to do to the culture? The culture in Portland will never be the same. Well, they didn't tank. How's the culture? How's that working out for you this year?
Yeah, who wants DeMarcus Cousins in that attitude with the culture? He's just having his best season. He single-handedly, by the way, for those that don't watch the NBA.
I know.
Single-handedly making New Orleans a playoff team.
Yes, he is.
They may not end up there.
Yes, he is.
But Anthony Davis has been plagued with injury. He is single-handedly.
He's pretty good.
Had his best season and made New Orleans a playoff team.
He's pretty good.
But who wants that, right? He's a locker room cancer.
Well, I think the explosion from you today, and I feel it as well.
I'm sorry, man.
A lot of Blazer fans, you don't have to apologize. A lot of Blazer fans are right there with you. This comes up. It happens to me as a Blazer fan like 3 or 4 times a year. where you just lose it. Like you need to explode for a little bit, vent, and get all your frustrations off your chest, because the reality of the fact is, no matter how optimistic we want to get, no matter what the sell job is, what their Twitter feed says, it's the same damn story every single season.
Yep.
It's the same every single year. It's the same exact story. And I think we forget it. You want to forget it. You want to buy in. You want to believe that, hey, maybe there's some hope here. Nurkic, hey, this is good. It's all going to figure itself out. Yet here we are 25 games in, basically, what, over a quarter of the way through the year, and it's the same exact stuff we've been talking about for 4 years now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did not want to go Blazers for a half hour there.
We need the Denny Green drop just every time we talk about them of just they are who we thought they were.
That was him, yeah. You want to crown him, you crown their ass.
It's the same damn thing.
Okay, we'll move on from the Blazers. Let's get to the USC thing. There's a decision. Could they possibly think about this move that would help them a lot but hurt us here in the Northwest? And then also we'll pass along the NFL news. I don't think the NFL news is really worthy of a segment, so we'll pass that along. We'll get to that next.
Hey, welcome back in 134. Hope your what's the day today? Wednesday. Hope your Wednesdays are going well.
Dirt's already on vacation mode.
Yeah, it's my last full show. The Isaac and Suk Radiothon starts here coming up in an hour and a half, which means we have abbreviated Thursdays. We'll come in, hang out for a little bit.
I'm hanging out with the boys all 6 hours.
Hey, you just had 2 days off, right? I am speaking for myself.
Wait, what?
I'll be the producers are on the regular shift, so it's just Isaac and Suk sitting in. So I'll be with the boys for 6 hours from 9 to 3.
Yeah, they'll be here all day, man.
Yeah, Colin graciously giving up his time tomorrow. So
can I admit something real quick? The first year we were asked to help out with this, so we step in and we usually relieve one of them so they can get a quick sandwich or something.
Sometimes you got to take a dump.
I was really nervous. Like, Radiothon, even before I worked here, I had heard of it and followed it and liking Isaac and Suk before you get here. I was nervous stepping in.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what we were giving away. It's mad chaos as it is every year here.
It's hard for us because nobody really keeps us in the loop of what's going on. We just kind of come in and we're like, okay, we don't know what we're giving away, but let's go
last
for an hour.
I came in and I asked, I might have been Swigart or Lynch, and I said, hey, what are we doing for the next hour? They handed me a binder of like 80 papers.
Yeah, find where we're at in the binder and go.
I printed it out in here. I gave it to Kyle. Kyle! Good friend Kyle going to make a rare appearance on primetime today, running things for NBC Sports.
Oh, shout out to Is that Rotoza?
Yeah.
Look at Kyle.
Everybody's coming into the building.
Back in the building.
Here it is right here.
Exactly. Here's the book. It's too long. So I come in here and I do that. I'm that one last year. It was 2 years ago. I'm nervous. Sukanik walks in. I go, hey, big guy, what do we do? What do you want to focus on this hour? He's like, I don't know. We'll just give stuff away. He puts his headphones on, and I literally had no idea what to do.
3, 2, 1, action, go, Brandon Spray.
Oh, now you're interviewing somebody you've never heard of. Here we go. And I was like, all right, that's how we're going to roll with Special Olympics.
That's the way it goes. We help out as we can, which is not much help because, hey, we're pretty useless around here. But they're doing a great cause. Starts today at 3, so we'll be in briefly tomorrow, and then I'm on vacation starting on Friday. So shuffling chairs, that's the way it always goes. Around the holiday season, we'll get into the NFL breaking news, looking at a new rule change, and also suck at Jerry, and we'll get into that coming up in 10 minutes. But how about this idea? So Ryan Abraham is one of our friends. We have him all the time to talk USC football. He's inside Troy, USCfootball.com, and he was doing some, you know, just kind of end of the season, Pac-12 championships over. Let's look back and analyze how this thing went and what USC should focus on moving forward. One of the things that he brought up, and I'm curious people's thoughts on this, 55305, he seriously believes that USC should push to go independent. Claims that they're making $20 million less per year in the TV deals than Rutgers.
He's right.
$20 million less than Rutgers. They have a horrible schedule. No buys. Got to play Friday nights, short weeks, travel, all that stuff. Terrible refs in the conference, which I think we can all agree on that. Pac-12 refs suck. What does USC get out of the Pac-12? He's asking. They should explore independence.
Okay. I'm not sure that this is actually ever going to be...
It's just an off-season rant of his.
This is his opinion. I don't think USC would actually consider this. Now, let me say this. The schedule's weak. The schedule's weak this year because the Pac-12 was not great. Was it weak last year when you might have been the best team? No. You got a playoff team. What about the year before that? No. the Pac-12 had one down year. You can't react and say, well, what's the schedule giving you? Are you going to play crappy teams? Yes, you are here and there, but here's the fill-in. Every team in the country plays crappy teams. I do think financially they would benefit greatly from going independent. This Pac-12 deal goes on for another 6 years. It is terrible. We're well aware of that. We don't need to go back into that rant. They would benefit and make more money, in my opinion, from going independent. I also think their schedule, if you really think Pac-12 teams are not the opponent you want to play, USC is basically West Coast Notre Dame. They have the cachet to make a schedule that is tough and would give them consideration. Now, you do get a conference title game appearance and potential conference championship to brag about.
Yes, you do.
But let's point to this. If Notre Dame doesn't lose three games, they only lose one, they are in the playoff. Mm-hmm. They don't need a conference title. Neither would USC if they had one loss or you're undefeated.
Because you can schedule tough enough.
Exactly. You get four or five really tough games, and then you schedule some mediocrity, and then a couple garbage teams, boom, that is schedule enough, and you're USC to get in the playoff. If USC did it, I think it would be a smart move by them. I would greatly miss them, and I think the Pac-12 actually needs USC more than USC needs the Pac-12.
Look, I do agree with that. The part of this I don't like is it's kind of a USC bristling their nose at the conference.
Absolutely.
Like, we're above you. We don't need you. And look, the conference needs USC more than USC needs the Pac-12. And I agree with that. I hate to admit it, but I will. The reason why I don't think this is a good idea, financially it is. The Pac-12 refs suck. I get it. Some of the scheduling stuff is awful. I totally understand all the complaints. Is I feel like college football is going away from that model. And you've even seen this with Notre Dame. Notre Dame now plays a partial ACC schedule every year. They're not completely in the conference. They're not fully in with football. They don't compete for an ACC title every year. But they are now playing a partial ACC schedule. And I don't know if it's 3 years down the road. I don't know if it's 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road. I genuinely feel like we are getting to the point of five major conferences that all have 16 teams, and the playoff model is going to be expanded to include those conference champions. I feel like that's the direction that we're going in college football. So while financially I understand it, from a ref standpoint and schedule standpoint, I get all of that. To be fair, those are complaints that there's a lot of schools in the Pac-12 can make. Mm-hmm. Washington can make that complaint. Oregon can make that. Oregon State can make. Everybody can make a complaint. We're not making enough money because they're not. They screwed up the TV deal. The refs are the worst in the country, and everybody that watches Pac-12 football would agree with that. And the scheduling practices are ridiculous, and it's a problem that everybody goes through. If we weren't trending that way in college football of power conferences, or super conferences like we thought we would see a couple of years ago, I would maybe put a little stock in this, but because I think we're going that direction, I don't think you want to be the only one on the outside looking in.
The other part that USC would have to think about here, if they ever went down that avenue, if you were to leave the conference because of frustrations and you think you're not getting enough out of it, who are you playing? Because if they left the Pac-12, if I'm the Pac-12, Larry Scott, and all these other presidents / ADs, screw you, USC.
Yeah, we're not playing you.
I'm not scheduling you. You're not going to be our West Coast Notre Dame, and we're not going to be your ACC. So now you're making them what? Go what? Big 12? Big 10?
But you'd still play Notre Dame every year because that's your rivalry game. And then you'd have to go out and find 11 other opponents. Two of them would be patsies because you have a couple of patsies.
Texas and Notre Dame would probably agree to like every year matchups, home and home. So there's two games where maybe you just schedule all over the country. Good luck with that travel schedule. People mentioned the Friday night game in Pullman. Okay, it's tough. I get it. If USC was truly going to be a playoff team, win the game, they were decimated with injuries. It was just bad timing. Playing on Saturday, by the way, doesn't change their injury situation. Their offensive line was ravished, and they had no blocking for Darnold in that matchup. Okay, good luck flying from Pullman on a Friday to flying, I don't know, Ohio or Michigan or Minnesota. Have fun doing that. Yeah. That's what I would say.
And that's the way it's going to go. You have to have the long-term view here, and I do believe next time around, it's not going to be for a while because, as you mentioned, the deal's not up anytime soon, but the Pac-12 will get a better TV deal next time. And if anything needs to change in the conference, as a lot of listeners are pointing out at the Bridgeport Beers text line, if anything needs to change, it's Larry Scott. Larry Scott's the one that signed this TV deal. Larry Scott's the reason they're making $20 million less than Rutgers. He's the reason you're playing these Friday night games at 7:30 and all these late kicks. He's the reason you're not on DirecTV. Like, there's a lot of issues here, and a lot of them fall on the desk of Larry Scott. And if anybody's going to go, it needs to be the commissioner first.
I'm a lot like other people. You know, USC and the dominance them and how much people talk about them from a national perspective. A lot of the time it feels like it's just USC in this conference from the outside perspective. We have to have USC in this conference. We need USC in the Pac-12.
Yeah, I agree with that. It sucks to admit, but I agree with it. So USC, Ryan Abraham floats an idea. They should at least look into the idea of going independent because they're not making enough money. The schedule's bad. The refs are bad. They don't need the Pac-12. Doubtful it's going to happen, but just an interesting theory that somebody floated out about one of the teams in the Pac-12. We'll get to our NFL challenge coming up top of the hour as we're not going to be on tomorrow, so we got to make our picks in the NFL. We'll do it at 2 o'clock. But we got some breaking news today in the NFL. Is it good for the product long-term? Also, another rule change could be coming. Do you like it? Crunch Time is next on 1080 The Fan.
The pressure's on.
You ask what's the difference in the past and this is just executing at crunch time.
Who's feeling the heat?
When you win, it's the greatest feeling in the world. And when you lose, it's the lowest feeling in the world.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 per month. So why would you ever pay more for a gym membership?
Hey, crunch time. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 a month. So why would you ever pay more for a gym membership? You can find out more about where Sprague and I work out at crunch.com. NFL challenge coming up top of the hour. Sadder story coming up at 2:15. Some Oregon State coaching news we got to get to at some point. Talk some college football playoff. Lots still to get to in this Wednesday show. Some stuff brewing in the NFL, though, on two different fronts. More off the field news, if you will, for the National Football League. Aloka, by the way, did you see his suspension got axed, and he is now just getting a fine in Cincinnati. So,
and
they backtracked on that one.
Look, some of these hits are tough to gauge. That one I thought looked, I mean, it just
looked
bad.
That one deserved
a
suspension.
No, that's the tough part is I don't know if it does.
Right. There's no right or wrong answer there. And that's what the NFL is trying to figure out.
I think it takes a certain crazy to play in the league. I really do. I think you are at a different level mentally than a lot of humans. And obviously you're more gifted and built differently. But I don't think most of these players are out with the malicious intent to really hurt somebody. I think he's making a play on the ball, and he's trying to get the ball out of the hands of Antonio Brown, who got a crucial touchdown, and it looked horrible.
Yeah.
So I don't think they deserve to be suspended. Guys like Gronk do when they do that idiotic play.
Right.
And maybe Smith, is it Smith-Schuster or Schuster-Smith? I always say this wrong.
Smith-Schuster.
Okay, Smith-Schuster.
Yeah.
Maybe that is malicious intent because of the person he hit, but most of the time, these guys don't deserve to be suspended.
Well, that's a tough part. We'll get to that in a second, by the way. The NFL is trying to figure that out. There's a lot of meat on that bone I want to chew on. But we'll start, though, with the news. And this has been ongoing now for weeks and weeks and weeks. And we finally, it looks like, have a conclusion to it. Roger Goodell has signed his contract extension. So despite the efforts of Jerry Jones, who thought he would get, even up until, apparently I was reading, even up until like today, he thought he was going to get another vote, thought he was going to find a way to stop this whole thing. Yeah, no. Pro Football Talk has reported, and it's official, Roger Goodell has signed his contract extension. He's getting paid, and he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, he sounds like he can make a lot of money, depending on how successful the NFL ends up being.
There was nearly a unanimous consensus.
Who do you think the guy
amongst the owners in favor finalizing the extension right now? I would bet Jarrah was the one that was the dissenting vote. But I like this. It shows where the power is. Jerry Jones thought he had a lot of power and he could get all these owners on his side. Yeah, not so fast. They're cool with it. They're fine with Roger Goodell. He's not going anywhere and his extension is signed.
Well,
so
you know,
one's done.
I think we learned this from Jarrah himself. You got to represent yourself in a respectable manner because you're representing the league. He wasn't doing that with the Goodell stuff.
Yeah.
Public bashing, leaking stuff to the media,
the Papa John's
debacle that he had with the owner coming out and saying what he said. I mean, it was just, there was a lot there. And I think the owners, even though some of those people probably don't like Goodell, it's about how you carry yourself and how you represent the league. And I don't think a lot of those guys like the way Jerry Jones did that.
Yeah. So, and that's one of the stories in the NFL. The other one, and I think this is going to be interesting. This is going to be a whole offseason debate and we'll have a lot of time to get into it, but it's just in the infant stages coming off of that game on Monday night, as we mentioned, the Aloka suspension getting overruled, and he's just getting fined now. Troy Vincent came out today, and he was talking about how the NFL is going to handle all this stuff. And I want to know how people feel about this. 55305. He came out today and said the NFL is going to consider putting in a targeting rule similar to what college football has, meaning a targeting. You get called for targeting, they review it, and boom, you're out of the game. If it's the first half, if it's the second half, you get tossed out of the game, and you're suspended for the first half of the following game. And he said they're also going to ponder punishment for non-football acts, which is basically the Gronkowski hit, something that's not a football play, not a football moment. They're going to try and figure out what the punishment should be for that. So they're considering a targeting rule like college football and punishments for non-football acts.
I still haven't seen anything done in terms of a story and research of, has anybody figured out in college if the targeting penalty has actually led to less targeting calls? Because to me, it doesn't feel like it has. And I think if it's amplified on the college level with fans and some coaches, how's it going to come across in the NFL level? You imagine a key player, a safety, a DB, goes down for a hit and the wide receiver crouches down and they hit head-to-head. He's called for targeting and then he's suspended and ejected.
Right.
I mean, that is just not going to play well. And I don't like the college one. I can't imagine the NFL one is going to be very well received either.
It's just going to cause more outrage, more controversy. Was it malicious? Was it not? Any simple helmet-to-helmet hit, are you going to be able to toss a guy out of a ball game? This is going to cost teams late. It's going to do more damage than good in the long run.
I remember when they changed the extra point, you were pissed, and you said, you know, you don't want the game to come down to an extra point, and then lo and behold, the AFC title game,
yeah,
the Doskowski New England, misses one.
New England-Denver. The reason Denver yes. won that game was because New England missed an extra point.
It would have been at least overtime. Yeah. They lose by 1 point. I'm worried about something like that. If this comes to light in the NFL and there's a targeting call on, I don't know, insert big name Earl Thomas. Let's use a local example.
Sure.
Earl Thomas.
In an NFC divisional playoff game this year.
And it's in the second half, and he's tossed, and then he's suspended for
the first
game
half
or a first half, whatever it ends up being. I'm pissed because now you change the way the game is played. You change the way a team comes out and attacks. I'm not happy about that.
Not okay with this. I can't wait to see where it goes from here. It's going to be a really interesting offseason.
Is football just better off owning what it is instead of trying to figure out how can we help the narrative or downplay the narrative?
There's nothing wrong with trying to step into certain instances where you feel like there was malicious intent, where it was clearly a dirty hit that did not need to happen. I have no problem with that. If you want to fine guys, you want to suspend them for stuff like that, I'm cool with it. You're trying to clean up the game and you have to save face a little bit. It doesn't mean you need to have a blanket rule for every time. That's the worst thing about the college rules, that you just have incidental helmet-to-helmet hits in football because, hey, who would guess? That just happens in a violent sport. Guys' helmets are going to collide. There's no intent behind it. They're not trying to knock them out of the game. It just happens. It doesn't mean that you can completely wipe it away from the sport. And when you tag on a suspension with it, that's where the frustration comes in. And if the NFL follows that model, that's going to frustrate a lot of folks, man.
It just feels like this is way too much overreaction to a violent game that you can't change.
Yeah. It's really one game. And there was no talk for this 2 weeks ago. It's just off of Monday Night Football. Now we need a new rule for Gronk and for targeting hits.
You can't change what this sport is. I'm okay with being open-minded with what you said, but at some point you got to draw a line and you can't cross that line. And I think the NFL is trying too hard here versus just saying, we are what we are. We're UFC, we're boxing.
What do you want us to do?
We can't. This is our sport. Yeah. There's obviously stipulations and things that can happen from playing said sport. If you're in as a sports fan, great. If you're not, we can't change.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the latest in the NFL. They're considering a targeting rule, considering a non-football act rule, as in what happened with Gronk and the Bills this week. And Roger Goodell, he's not going anywhere. He signed his contract extension. Jared Jones, not happy about it. He tried to thwart all those plans, but it did not happen. Roger Goodell signs on to continue to be commissioner of the NFL. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 a month, so why would you ever pay more for a gym membership? You can find out more about where Sprague and I work out at crunch.com. Coming up in the final hour of the show, there's going to be some leftovers today. I just know it. But here's the things we're going to effort to get to. The Oakland A's stadium situation has once again collapsed. Hello, Portland. We're saying hi. Rafael Palmeiro wants to make a comeback at the age of 53. The Oregon State Beavers are making some hires in football I want to try and get to. The college football playoff matchups are juicy. We haven't really talked much about them. quite yet. We will do Stat or Story at 2:15, and we will start with our NFL challenge, as we do usually on Thursdays, doing it today because the Special Olympics Radiothon will be on tomorrow in place of our NFL challenge. So we'll make some picks, winners and losers in the NFL, next on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.